Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Inspire Indeed on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio. My name is Elaine Summerfield, host of Inspire Indeed, where we're learning about community issues and the nonprofits and community leaders that are working to address them. And hopefully you'll learn something new and be inspired to think about how you might make a difference with your deeds. On today's show, we're going to talk about one of Richmond's treasures and one of my two-year-old's favorite places in the world, Maymont. Maymont has a unique history that makes it an asset that we can all enjoy, and there are ways that we can all help ensure we continue to preserve it as a resource for Greater Richmond. Norman Burns is the executive director of Maymont Foundation, and he's here to tell us more. Thanks for being here today, Norman.
Thank you, Elaine. And you read that almost exactly the way we wrote it.
Is that right? Well, I think most listeners are well aware of Maymont and have probably been there at some point in their lives. But I don't think many people understand why it is a resource and how it's supported, myself included. I don't know all the history. So could you share a little bit about how Maymont was created?
Well, it's kind of interesting because I think a lot of folks in Richmond have a general idea that someone gave it to the city of Richmond, but because the family's name has kind of been lost in time, they're not aware of that. But James Henry Dooley and his wife Sally May were very prominent citizens, both Ode and New South type of citizens. He was very successful in business, both in the railroads as well as insurance and banking and real estate and other things. And he and Sally loved to travel, and they loved to give back to the community. They never had children, but they built this country estate out in Henrico County at the time, outside of the city, in 1893, and continued to develop it over time, including remarkable gardens and an arboretum that kind of complemented this country estate idea. And with his passing in 1922 and then her passing in 1925, they actually left this 100-acre country estate to the city of Richmond. They said, we're leaving it to become a museum and a park for all Richmonders to enjoy. Now, that particular statement in the will has caused people to say, well, that's why Maymont is free. Well, they never said it had to be free. They just left it to the city of Richmond, who opened it as, I believe, their second public park at that time in March of 1926. And for the next 50 years, Maymont was considered one of Richmond's public parks. And as you can imagine, over time, it's a little difficult for a government that was not in the park business at the mm-hmm. time and definitely was not in the museum business to operate such a complex area that had remarkable buildings, decorative arts, arboretums and gardens and such. And so over time, Maymont, the facilities and gardens and such were coming under disrepair. And that's why concerned citizens got involved in different aspects of it that led to the Maymont Foundation. And we have partnered with the city of Richmond, and it's a great public-private partnership where we operate Maymont on behalf of the city of Richmond in a management agreement and have been doing so since January of 1975. And in that management agreement, the city of Richmond said anything the Dooleys left, we want to remain free, but anything the foundation raises money for and does, you can do whatever you want to. And so that's how this has developed over time. To be honest with you, it's the reason we have animals at Maymont. While the Dooleys had a country estate and obviously had horses and cattle and chickens mm-hmm. and things like that, they didn't necessarily have the Virginia wildlife on exhibit. They might have had it pass through their property, but not necessarily exhibited for children. And so over time, there became a need for that to be part of what people enjoyed in Richmond. And that's why we have Virginia Wildlife, a children's farm, the Tallheimers got involved, and so many other families through the years.
When did the wildlife exhibits start to be introduced at Maymont?
You know, it actually started after World War II. As you know, in history, we have these soldiers that are coming home, and you've got women that have been active in work, and you have this consumerism that begins to explode post World War II. You have people moving to the suburbs as well. The Tallheimers, as we know, is a great family name when it comes to department stores, and one of the marketing ideas that they had during this time period was to actually bring farm animals in and set up a small children's farm, or at least a petting area, in their department stores, a promotional act. activity sometime around 1946, 1947. And it became so popular that more and more people were showing up, including school kids. And it just got to be a little overwhelming to try to run that or keep that going in downtown. And so they went to the city of Richmond and actually said, if we gave you a little money, could we build a small farm site at Maymont? And that's exactly what happened in 1947. And that led to the Talheimer Wildlife Foundation that eventually started developing, bringing other exotic animals and then finally Virginia wildlife animals out. And that became eventually the Virginia Wildlife Foundation. All started in 1959 with our nonprofit status. And the Maymont Foundation today actually has its original nonprofit status from the Talheimer
nonprofit. Got started. I didn't realize
that's
that.
Right.
That's so interesting.
And so over time, those exhibits have developed. And of course, probably the way people think of Maymont today with the children's farm
right.
and the type of exhibits that we have really has developed since the 1960s and 70s.
I see. And so you've had some recent developments to the wildlife exhibits as well. I know the whole raptor area, that's relatively new, right?
That's correct. We opened that in 2008, and that was part of our master planning with habitats. It was one of the next, at least the American bald eagle, was one of the next raptors that we felt we needed to exhibit at Maymont. And so we had the good fortune that not only people like the Talheimers and the Robins, but the Friedman family saw a need, and they wanted to honor Bob's memory. And they chose to give a gift to Maymont to build our first ever eagle habitat. And that's why it's called the Robert Friedman Eagle Plaza. And then we expanded, actually created a new Raptor Valley and redid all the exhibits. And of course, that's an over $2 million improvement that the Maymont Foundation made to Maymont, raised the money privately. And of course, that's free and accessible. But there's an example of something, if we would have chosen to have charged for that, we could have, because in our management agreement with the city of Richmond, anything that we mm-hmm. build out, we could do. But we believe that what makes Maymont special is what the Dooleys intended. It's a remarkable place. You just go there and you're unplugged and you immediately sense that this is something different about this place. And we want to maintain that. So yes, I know we charge for some programs and there's a few things that we have to, but we have to raise over $10,000 a day to open the gates of Maymont for free. So that's why we raise so much money. That's why we do try to earn some income.
Sure.
From some programs and a few things, and as long as the public understands that. But our mission is we want to preserve and celebrate Maymont as a place that everybody can enjoy, just like the Dooleys intended.
Yeah, I think that when you go there on any given weekend, you can see that it truly is that you see people from all walks of life enjoying the place.
It's remarkably diverse, and you just see them enjoying Maymont in so many different ways. And that's what I think the citizens of Richmond and everyone that visits Maymont values, is that you can come in and you can pretty much develop your own. It's free choice learning at its highest. I mean, mm-hmm. you come in, you decide what you want to do. You can passively walk through the place, or you can learn from programs and things. I can tell you that the plans that we have moving forward is to only improve that, so our visitors can actually learn more about Maymont.
Okay. So what are some of your plans looking forward, you said?
Well, one of the things we want to do is, if there's one thing that I've heard in my 6 years in Richmond now, on a regular basis, when people ask me, where do you work? And I say, well, I work at Maymont. And three words immediately come out of their mouth.
Mm-hmm.
I love Maymont. And when the public loves Maymont, they don't all understand that we need money to continue to run it, but hopefully radio shows like this will help with that.
Sure.
But they all say, I love Maymont. And so we're such a beloved institution that we want to make sure that what people love today is continually sustained and improved. And for those of you that have been coming to Maymont for generations now, you know that we've had issues with crumbling roadways and
mm-hmm.
sidewalks, limited restrooms and bad restrooms, little or no signage that tells you how to get to Maymont, or once you're inside, how to get from one part of the estate to the other, and what the buildings are, all of these different types of things. I can tell you that this capital campaign that we're in is going to be raising funds to address a lot of our infrastructure issues of Maymont, things like roadways and restrooms and signage and improvements to existing buildings and improvements to existing habitats and just all the things that's needed to really put a shine on what people call is the real jewel of Richmond. Not that it's tarnished, but we want it to continually shine the brightest it's ever shown, and make sure that it does that for future generations. And that's part of our sustainability.
Mm-hmm.
We're raising money for endowments and building reserves, and we're also looking at the types of programs and facilities that can generate the right type of revenue to also help sustain Maymont.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I mean, It's existed for well over 100 years now, and so you need to continue to think about ways that you can keep it going for future generations as well.
Well, we hear that a lot, and when you think about Maymont, if you want to go back to when the Dooleys were there, and they first opened the doors of Maymont Mansion in 1893, you can probably look back and say that at least five generations of Richmonders, in some cases, have been coming to Maymont because there were folks that used to visit the Dooleys when this was their own private country estate, and at least four generations of Richmonders have enjoyed it as a public place, a wonderful estate that with all these different activities since 1926. Right. So that's why we're a beloved institution. But once again, because we've been around so long and the Dooley's name is not that known, people just assume we're a public park or that, you know, the Dooleys left a pot of gold. I can tell you they didn't leave a penny to run Maymont.
But they left the place.
They left the place to the city of Richmond, and then the city of Richmond now works with the foundation to help raise the funds and to improve it.
And they left the place, and they left the vision that it should remain something to be enjoyed by the public.
They certainly did. They were lovers of nature. They were lovers of art. And they gave so much to this community, more than Maymont. People don't realize what they did when it comes to the public library, the Children's Hospital, St. Joseph's Villa, and I can go on and on with the things that they helped fund that nobody knows about because they both passed in the first quarter of the 20th century and they didn't have children.
Wow. Well, if you're just joining us, my name is Elaine Summerfield, the host of Inspire Indeed on WRIR 97.3 FM, and I'm speaking with Norman Burns of Maymont. And we are in the midst here at WRIR of our fund drive. We do it twice a year. So I hope you'll call 804-622-9747 or go to WRIR.org to make your donation. You know, WRIR provides unique, locally produced programs created by volunteers like Defenders Live, Rainbow Minute, Total Football Soccer Show, to name a few. We also have some really incredible national programs that are featured that do charge a subscription fee. So, you know, I'm thinking of shows like Le Show with Harry Shearer or Michelle Martin's Tell Me More or The Jefferson Hour, which I think some history buffs might really enjoy out there, The Jefferson Hour. But those do cost the station. And so your contributions can help ensure that these great quality programs remain on our local airwaves. So thanks for considering your donation and your pledge of support for WRIR. Now, I mentioned the history buffs that may enjoy the Jefferson Hour, and here in the studio is an accomplished historian, Norman Burns. I know your background is in history, and that's part of the lens that you bring to Maymont. You've been talking a lot about that. Now, you have a special 100-year anniversary coming up this week, right?
We certainly do. Actually, it's this entire year. The year of 2012 is the 100th anniversary of the Japanese Garden.
Okay. Yeah, that special place at Maymont, sort of down at the bottom of the hill, right?
That's exactly right. It's one of the places that when I first visited, when I was considering coming to work at Maymont, I wandered through all of Maymont, and that was the last place I entered. And when I walked through the gates and I saw the 45-foot waterfall and the moon bridge and just the setting it was in, I couldn't believe that space was in Richmond and that garden was in Maymont with all the other things that I've seen. And that's one of the special things about Maymont.
Yeah, definitely. So what sorts of things are you doing to recognize the 100-year anniversary?
Well, we've already done so much. We have a lot of lectures that are coming up. We actually have a special event this Friday evening that's a ticketed event that's celebrating the 100th anniversary. But one thing that we're doing is just bringing awareness to it through lectures and programs and things that we're doing on our website. You know, when you're talking about 100 years, obviously we're in the sesquicentennial of the Civil War, so we're talking about 150 years of that. But even 100 years ago, that's a significant passage of time. And when you think about the Japanese Garden and what it means to people that visit it, that's a long time. That the Dooleys enjoyed it and they left it for others. And it's quite significant because the Dooleys represent that era, if you will, that time of history where people were not only enjoying our own American culture, but cultures throughout the world, including the Japanese. It kind of started with the trade exposition to Japan in 1853 and continued on with things being imported into New York and with people like the Vanderbilts and others building homes and Japanese gardens that they created. And then the Dooleys were part of that. They traveled broadly. They also were had built this country estate, and they wanted similar type gardens. And so they went out and they hired a Japanese master gardener to come and create that space at Maymont. Sometime around 1910-1911, Mudo came in to begin the design and finished it by 1912. We don't have an exact date. That's why we can't say that this is the exact 100th anniversary, but we know that it was finished in 1912. And it's such a significant space. We have the bones of that original Japanese garden in place with the waterfall and all those elements. And then the foundation, about a year after it started operating Maymont full-time, started raising money through Ikebana of Richmond and others to begin a restoration of that Japanese garden and expand it into a more contemporary space. So today when people visit, if they think about the area of the waterfall being kind of the original aspects of Mrs. Dooley's Japanese garden, and as you begin to move towards the koi pond and all those things, those were the extensions of what we've done. And now it's almost 6 acres of just a remarkable space. When you see children skipping over the stepping stones
right.
And the koi fish, and of course the great addition of the Azumaya in 2005, which is that wonderful facility
structure.
The structure on the edge of the koi pond, as people refer to it. There's just so much to see and enjoy, and different quiet spaces that you can escape to in the Japanese garden or take your children down there. And of course, what child does not enjoy playing in the bamboo forest, as many people refer to it, so as well as adults. They also enjoy walking through the bamboo forest. So we're just very pleased that this is a space that we can celebrate today. It's 100th anniversary and it's a longtime benefit to the city of Richmond. I think the Dooleys would be proud of that, the fact that something that they created has been expanded on and has been enjoyed by millions and millions of people through the years.
Yeah, I have no doubt they would. I mean, it really is a special place. So looking forward, what are some of the other things that you're looking forward to celebrating maybe later this year or into next year at Maymont?
Well, we always have a long list of programs and things that that we're doing. We're continually looking for new ways and trying to get input from our public on things we want to do. Would encourage folks that are not aware of all of our many programs, and you're probably not, if you go to our website, www.maymont.org, we have a listing of all the programs that we do at the Nature Center, at the Mansion, the programs that we do through our Horticulture Department that are everything from walking tours to the gardens. And there's also a calendar of event and a program that you can download and see all these many things. But for instance, we have a lecture series coming up from our Maymont Council later in October that's dealing with issues of women's suffrage. For instance, on Wednesday, October 10th, a noonday luncheon at the Garden Hall, Cast Your Vote, The Story of Women's Suffrage. We actually are partnering with the Library of Virginia. Dr. Sandy Treadway is going to be giving a lecture, and we actually have costume interpreters, and it's part of the suffrage vote. It's a wonderful program that we actually did at the Women's Club last year. Mm-hmm. And then on Wednesday, November 4th, from 6 to 8 in the Garden Hall, we actually have a lecture dealing with the Civil War, once again, kind of along the lines of the sesquicentennial, an Irish-American experience in the Confederate Army. And we're actually talking about John Dooley, Major Dooley's brother, and his diary and things like that. So that's just an example of a couple of history lectures that we have coming up. But we have a lot of things going into the fall. Obviously, traditional holiday activities and things at the Children's Farm, things at the Nature Center. So I could go on and on, but
there is a lot going on at Maymont all the time. And so that's a great idea for listeners that are interested to go to the website, maymont.org, and see all of the different scheduled events and see where you might want to get engaged, because there is a wide variety, not just the history, but also if you're interested in natural landscape and wildlife, things like that, you can learn a lot at Maymont.
And I think that's, you'd asked about improvements earlier. Mm-hmm. One of the things that I hope that you will see an improvement on Maymont in the years to come as we move forward with this capital campaign is how you access Maymont, and once you get there, how you learn about the things to do. So we're really going to be ramping up customer service. Folks that come on the weekend, they know that we have limited. I mean, you mainly have to come to the Nature Center if you want to have contact with our customer service, because the Children's Farm, it's kind of wide open the same way at the Hampton Street Gate. in the future, you're going to see changes of that, where we're actually going to have welcome plazas and orientation centers where people can learn about things to do. But in the meantime, if you're not aware of it, of all the programs that we do on the weekends at the Nature Center and places like that, go to our website, because there are plenty of things that you can sign up and do that you may not know about if you just arrive and walk through the gate.
Just walk through. Yeah, great. Now, you said you've been here about 6 years.
6 years now.
Yeah. And so how did you get to Maymont? What brought you to Richmond and to work for Maymont?
Well, I've been doing this type of work now for about 26 years, and I've had the good fortune of having several gentlemen be great mentors to me in the museum profession. And one of those is Dr. Charlie Bryant, that I think many of your listeners would probably know as the former president and CEO, retired president and CEO of the Virginia Historical Society. What you may not know is that that Charlie is a Tennessee native, like I am, as is, by the way, Dr. Ayers. He is also from Tennessee. We're part of what at least one of our donor friends calls the Tennessee Mafia, that we all came to Richmond.
And we can recognize you by your accent.
That's right. So I got a phone call from Charlie one day in Nashville where I was working, and he made me aware that there would be a job opening at Maymont. My predecessor, Jeffrey Platt, had lunch with him, and he said he was retiring to move back closer to home. And I mean, literally, he came back from that lunch and called me and said, "This would be the perfect place for you. Mm-hmm. I'm sure someone's going to ask me, and would you be interested?" And I told him, I said, "You know, I'm very happy where I'm at. I'm enjoying what I'm doing. All my family's here in the Nashville area, so I'm not looking to make a move." But he had never steered me wrong. And I said, "You know, if someone asks, that's fine." And sure enough, they did. And once I started looking closer at Maymont, especially once I visited, I'm like everybody else. The moment I walked on the property, I got it. It hooked me. Mm-hmm. I drank the Kool-Aid. And I knew exactly what Maymont is and what it means to this community. And I knew that I wanted to be a part of it. And so I just enjoy coming to work every day, walking through those gates and seeing how the public enjoys Maymont. And I know there are times that there are things that maybe people get frustrated about, just like anything in life. But
sure.
For the most part, we see smiles on people's face because they come and enjoy Maymont.
Well, great. Well, you're lucky to work there, and we're lucky to have you in our community.
Well, thank you.
Thanks. Now, tell us how community members can get involved, either helping out to support Maymont through volunteer time, talent, treasure. How can they get involved?
Well, they can do all of those things. Obviously, we have to actively raise. I mentioned that earlier. This is a staggering number. We have to fundraise over $2 million every year of our almost $3.5 million operating budget. That's why the number $10,000 a day mm-hmm. threw out earlier. So that's a lot of funds that we have to raise to do that. And we do that through memberships. We do it through annual campaigns, through affinity groups, through special activities and fundraising events. Like our Vintage Maymont, our Duly Noted Society, which is an affinity group. They just had the Wine and Beer Classic this past Friday night at the Children's Farm. So we do a lot of things like that. And we also participate in the community with things like the Community Foundation has the Amazing Raises coming up this week. And that's a way that people can go online and contribute to Maymont. They can also do that anytime during the year. They go to our website, and there's actually a donate button there. They can donate directly, or they can contact our development office or anyone at Maymont and find out how they can do that. We also have volunteers. We have over 450 volunteers that contribute about 18,000 hours of work to Maymont annually, and we can use more, whether you have a green thumb or a brown thumb, whether you love animals or whether you love office work. There's always something that you can volunteer your time and your talent, and of course, we have a very active board if folks are interested in that.
Yeah, well, there's no doubt that there is a big estate to care for and that your staff alone couldn't do it. So the community is welcome to come and learn about ways to help support the work of Maymont and see where you can, you know, find a fit for whether or not you want to rake some leaves or, you know, help out in the office. I'm sure it would all be helpful.
Raking leaves is a little more fun than working in the office sometimes for some folks.
I would agree. I would agree. As long as the sun's shining.
With the right weather.
Yeah, right. Well, we are coming to a close on a show. It always runs pretty quickly, which is always a surprise. So, Norman Burns, thank you so much for spending time with us today to talk about Maymont.
Well, thank you, Elaine. Thank you for the show. This is a remarkable format that we definitely support and hope everyone's listening.
I hope so, too. Now, if you want to learn more about Maymont, go to maymont.org, www.maymont.org. I also want to take a minute to thank Jay Westerman for engineering today's show and to Jesse Johnson for volunteering on the board down here at volunteer-powered WRIR 97.3 FM. If you'd like to get those more information on the show, you can visit the Inspire Indeed website, which is inspireindeed.blogspot.com. You can see a list of all the shows we've done over the past few months. WRIR is a volunteer-powered station that relies on listeners and supporters and underwriters to keep this local voice on the air. So as we mentioned earlier, we are in the midst of our pledge drive. Please consider making a donation to support your community radio station. WRIR is a national leader in the low-power FM network, and please try to call and show your support. The number is 804-622-9747, or you can just go to WRIR.org to make your donation. My name is Elaine Summerfield, and you've been listening to Inspire Indeed. I hope you've learned something here that inspires you to consider how you might make a difference in the Greater Richmond community with your deeds.